Now the feast of the unleavened bread, also known as Passover, drew near. And the chief priests and the religious scholars sought a way to kill Jesus, for they feared the people.
Then Satan took possession of Judas, who was called Iscariot, one of the 12. He went to the chief priests and the temple guards to discuss with them how he might betray Jesus. They were delighted and agreed to give him money. Judas accepted, then began to look for the opportune moment to hand Jesus over to them when people were not present.
When the day of the feasts of the unleavened bread arrived, when the Passover lamb was to be sacrificed, Jesus sent Peter and John out with the instructions.
Go and make the preparations for us to eat the Passover.
The disciples asked,
Jesus answered,
When you enter the city, a man will meet you carrying a jar of water. Follow him into the house he enters. Say to the owners of the house, The rabbi asks, Where is the guest room where I can eat the Passover and Seder with my disciples? The owner will show you a large furnished upper room. Make the preparations there.
They went out and found everything as Jesus had told them. And they prepared the Passover.
When the hour had come, Jesus took a place at the table with the apostles. Jesus said to them,
I've longed to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. I tell you, I will not eat it again until everything is fulfilled in the reign of God.
Then taking a cup of wine, Jesus gave thanks and said,
Take this and share it among you. I tell you, I will not drink wine from now on, until the reign of God comes.
Then Jesus took bread and gave thanks for it, broke it, and gave it to them, saying,
This is my body, which will be given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
Jesus did the same with the cup after supper and said,
This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which will be poured out for you. Look, the hand of my betrayer is at this table with me. The chosen one is following the appointed course, but woe to the person by whom that one is betrayed.
Then they began to argue among themselves as to which of them would do such a deed.
Another dispute arose among them about who would be regarded as the greatest. But Jesus said to them,
Earthly rulers domineer over their people. Those who exercise authority over them are called their benefactors. This must not happen with you. Let the greatest among you be like the youngest. Let the leader among you become the follower. For who is the greater? The one who reclines at a meal or the one who serves it? Isn't it the one reclining at the table? Yet here I am among you as the one who serves you. You are the ones who have stood by me faithfully in trials. Just as God has given me dominion, so I give it to you. In my reign, you will eat and drink at my table, and you'll sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, Satan has demanded that you be sifted like wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith may not fail. You in turn must give strength to your sisters and brothers.
Peter answered,
Rabbi, with you I am prepared to face imprisonment and even death.
Jesus said to them,
When I sent you off without purse, traveling bag, or sandals, were you in need of anything?
No, nothing, they replied.
Jesus said,
Now, however, the one who has a purse had better carry it. The same with a traveling bag. And if they don't have a sword, they should sell their cloaks and buy one. For I tell you, what was written in Scripture must be fulfilled in me. The suffering servant was counted among criminals. For whatever refers to me must be fulfilled.
And they said,
Look around. Here are two swords.
Jesus answered,
That is enough.
Then Jesus went out and made his way as usual to the Mount of Olives. The disciples accompanied him.
When they reached the place, Jesus said to them,
"Pray that you not be put to the test."
Then Jesus withdrew about a stone's throw from them, knelt down, and prayed.
"Abba, if it is your will, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done."
When Jesus rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. Exhausted with grief, he said to them,
"Why do you sleep? Wake up and pray that you not be subjected to the trial."
While Jesus was still speaking, a crowd suddenly appeared with Judas, one of the 12, at their head. Judas came over to Jesus and embraced him. But Jesus said,
"Judas, are you betraying the chosen one with a kiss?"
Those who were around Jesus, realizing what was going to happen, said,
"One of them struck the attendant of the high priest, cutting off an ear." Jesus said,
"Stop! No more of this." Then Jesus touched the attendant's ear and healed it.
But to those who had come out against him, the chief priests, the chiefs of the temple guard, and the elders, Jesus said,
"Why do you come out with swords and clubs as if I were a robber? I was with you in the temple every day, and you could have laid hands on me any time you wanted. But this is your hour, the triumph of darkness."
They arrested Jesus and led him away. Arriving at the house of the high priest, Peter followed at a distance and sat down in the midst of those who had kindled a fire in the courtyard and were sitting around it. One of the high priest's attendants saw him sitting there at the fire, and she stared at him and said,
"This one was with Jesus too."
But Peter denied it and said,
"I don't know him."
A little later, someone else noticed Peter and remarked,
"You're one of them too."
But Peter said,
"No, I'm not."
About an hour later, someone else insisted,
"Surely this fellow was with them too. He even talks like a Galilean."
"I don't even know what you are talking about."
Peter said, just then, as Peter was still speaking, a rooster crowed. Jesus turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered Jesus saying, "Before a rooster crows today, you'll deny me three times." Peter went out and wept bitterly.
Meanwhile, those who held Jesus in custody were amusing themselves at his expense. They blindfolded and slapped him and then taunted him.
And they hurled many other insults at him. At daybreak, the Sanhedrin, which was made up of the elders of the people, the chief priests, and the religious scholars, assembled again. Once they had brought Jesus before the council, they said,
"Tell us, are you the Messiah?"
Jesus replied,
"If I tell you, you'll not believe me. And if I question you, you won't answer. But from now on, the chosen one will have a seat at the right hand of the power of God."
Then all of them said,
Jesus answered,
"Your own words have said it."
They said,
"What need do you have witnesses? We have heard from
according to thy grace. Thank you.
Then the whole assembly arose and led Jesus to Pilate. They began to accuse Jesus by saying,
Then Pilate questioned Jesus,
"Are you the King of the Jews?"
Jesus answered,
"You have said it."
Then Pilate reported to the chief priest and the crowds,
"I find no guilt in him."
But they insisted,
On hearing this, Pilate asked whether Jesus was a Galilean. And learning that Jesus was from Herod's jurisdiction, sent Jesus off to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time.
Now at the sight of Jesus, Herod was very pleased. From the reports he had heard about Jesus, he had wanted for a long time to see him. Herod hoped to see Jesus perform some miracle.
Herod questioned him at great length, but Jesus wouldn't answer. The chief priests and religious scholars stood there, accusing Jesus vehemently. So Herod and the scholars treated Jesus with contempt and ridicule, put a magnificent robe upon him, and sent him back to Pilate. Herod and Pilate, who had previously been set against each other, became friends that day.
Pilate then called together the chief priests, the ruling class, and the people, and said to them,
"You've brought this person before me as someone who incites people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for any charge against him arising from your allegations. Neither has Herod, for Jesus has been sent back to us. Obviously, he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish Jesus, but then I will release him."
Pilate was obligated to release one prisoner to the people at festival time. The whole crowd cried out as one,
"Take him away. We want Barabbas."
Barabbas had been in prison for starting a riot in the city and for murder. Pilate wanted to release Jesus, so he addressed them again, but they shouted back,
"Crucify him. Crucify him."
Yet a third time, Pilate spoke to the crowd,
"What wrong has Jesus done? I've found nothing that calls for death. Therefore, I'll have him flogged, and then I'll release him."
But they demanded that Jesus be crucified, and their shouts increased in volume. Pilate decided that their demands should be met. So he released Barabbas, the one who had been in prison for rioting and murder, and Jesus was handed over to the crowd.
As they led Jesus away, they seized Simon, a Cyrene, who was just coming in from the fields, and forced him to carry the cross behind Jesus. A large crowd was following, many of them women who were beating their breasts and wailing for him. At one point, Jesus turned to these women and said,
"Daughters of Jerusalem, don't weep for me. Weep rather for yourselves and for your children. The time is coming when it will be said, 'Blessed are the childless. The wombs that have never given birth, and the breasts that have never nursed. Then people will say to the mountains, "Fall on us," and to the hills, "Cover us up." For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?"
Two others were also led off with Jesus, criminals who were to be put to death. When they had reached the place called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there, and together with the criminals, one on the right and one on his left. And Jesus said,
"Abba, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing."
Then they divided his garments, rolling dice for them. The people stood there, watching. The rulers, however, jeered at him and said,
The soldiers also mocked him. They served Jesus sour wine and said,
If you are really the king
of the Jews, save yourself.
There was an inscription above Jesus that read, This is the King of the Jews. One of the criminals who hung there beside him insulted Jesus too, saying,
Are you really the Messiah? Then save yourself and us.
But the other answered, the first with a rebuke.
Don't you even fear God? We are only paying the price for what we have done, but this one has done nothing wrong.
Then he said,
Jesus, remember me when you come into your glory.
Jesus replied,
The truth is, today you'll be with me in paradise.
It was about noon, and darkness fell on the whole land until 3 p.m. Because of the eclipse of the sun, then the curtain of the sanctuary was torn in two, and Jesus uttered a loud cry and said,
Abba, into your hands I commit my spirit.
Saying this, Jesus breathed for the last time.
The centurion who saw this glorified God, saying,
Surely this one was innocent.
When the crowds that had gathered for the spectacle saw what had happened, they returned home, beating their breasts and weeping. All the acquaintances of Jesus and the women who had come with him from Galilee stood at a distance looking on.
was a member of the Sanhedrin named Joseph, who had not consented to their action. Joseph was from Arimathea and lived in anticipation of the reign of God. He approached Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Joseph took the body down, wrapped it in fine linen, and laid it in a tomb cut out of rock, where no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was not about to begin.
The women who accompanied Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph, saw the tomb, and watched as the body was placed in it. Then they went home to prepare the spices and ointments, but they rested on the Sabbath according to the law. We have gathered here week after week, sharing a common quest for deeper faith and a deeper experience of the divine. I invite you now to let go of the things that distract you and concern you, and know that the time is drawing near. Jesus is preparing to go to Jerusalem. So how will we greet him? Will we follow him all the way to the cross? The power of Jesus is that he lived what he taught, even when it led to his death. He lived with an abiding awareness of God, radiating the light of God in all that he said and did. But that light was too much for the world. There are forces today, as there were in ancient Judea, that conspire to put out that light. So I invite you to think today, where are you in this drama? What are we willing to risk to follow Jesus? We extinguish one more Lenten candle this morning, and with it we acknowledge the darkness and the pain that we have known.